So what did we discuss last night?
They should culminate in the same realization, which is Bhagavan realization, or realization of Krishna as being the Supreme Personality of God. Any other points?
Discussed Siddhoshna Sukhata Pada. Yogis doesn't care about good and bad situation. He just is interested in serving Krishna.
Same thing as the previous verse, except here there is a self-realizing added on to it, and then the comparison to self-realizing and body-realizing to the only for devotional service is the same, for the other paths is the same.
Good. Any other points?
Bhakti has to be an essential component for yoga together, for connecting to Krishna. There is no point in simple jnana or without Krishna. And bhakti is essential for any process to culminate in the ultimate perfection.
Anything else?
Devotional service is beyond the effects of jnana. We may be, the performer may be within the modes of material nature. When he is doing, offering some service, his consciousness could be contaminated by the nature of nature. But the act is like the service which he is doing is beyond the modes of material. Krishna is transcendental, he is nirguna, and that is why we require a process also which is transcendental. And that is why jnana, kravyana, karma, jnana, will not work. Which is also transcendental process to reach Krishna.
Any other points?
People who are very interested in since that with this dharma, kama, moksha, they are not interested in hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord.
That's from the previous section.
Section? Yesterday we did from what verse to what verse?
23 to 33. Any other points?
For devotees, every day is a good day. And the point is, one has to give up good and bad.
I had a question about the previous question. Can I ask one or later? I was reading this morning, Gurjan Rao's Unveiling the Lotus Feet, and I was trying to get a summary. So, it is mentioned there that when in the previous class there are different types of devotees with different goals they worship, and out of the law abiders who are following the shastras, some of them do a lot of austerities etc., but they don't offer it to Krishna, they don't do it under Krishna consciousness. So it is mentioned that they attain the planet of Brahma Loka, and then from there then they move on. Now, how can they directly move on from Brahma Loka? They have to come back. Is there an opportunity for them? Is there any Abhideya in Brahma Loka that leads to them?
Any what?
Is there any process in Brahma Loka?
Well, there's the association of Lord Brahma. So if Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, then they will also develop. Everyone else on the planet will also have that opportunity. If Brahma is a jnani or a kami, then they may not get that opportunity. But if he's a devotee, then they'll get the opportunity to.
If he is not a devotee, then what happens?
That's the only association you virtually get.
There are no spiritual masters who visit Brahma Loka, who even transport those people to back to God.
Yeah, that's true. There are. But generally, then the people on Satyaloka or Brahmaloka, they'll take on the mood of Lord Brahma. Or they'll develop that kind of consciousness. So if he is a pure devotee, then everyone else will become a pure devotee. But generally, that will be the point. Okay. So, in the beginning of chapter 29, Devahuti, she asks about the three subject matters, about devotional service, about the time element, and about the suffering of birth and death within this material world. And then, after asking those questions, then Kapila Dev in chapter 29, he begins to describe four different types of devotional service. Devotional service in the mode of ignorance, and the mode of passion, and the mode of goodness, and then pure devotional service, or that which is transcendental. So that is the subject matter of chapter 29, and then chapter 30 is a description of adverse material activities. When one performs activities which are materialistic or sinful, then one degrades one's consciousness down into the lower planets. So this describes the suffering of birth and death in this material world. Then, in chapter 31, it describes the movement of the living entities as the living entity moves back into a human form, into a human womb, and then from that point, that personality has the opportunity to take up devotional service once again. And if it's a if the living entity is pious or devotional, then within the womb, the living entity will pray to the Lord for an opportunity to engage in devotional service once again. And then, it describes the living entity leaves the womb, becomes a baby, and the suffering which is involved in being a baby, the suffering of boyhood, childhood, the suffering of youth, and then finally the suffering of developing attraction to the opposite sex. And this is, as Lord Kapila describes at the end of the 31st chapter, this is the binding principle in the material world, attraction to the opposite sex. This is what keeps everyone bound within the material world, by maituni bhav. Maituni bhav means
sexual
attraction, the attraction between the opposite sex, and this is what keeps everyone trapped within the material world. So these are important instructions. And then in the beginning of chapter 32, it describes, what is the title of chapter 32?
Entanglement intrusive activities.
So it describes the final question which is asked by Devahuti, which is, please discuss about the time element. So it discusses a pious living entity who performs pious activities but is still bound in the material world. They are known as Grihamedis. Grihamedis means one who is regulated and performs pious activity but is still bound in the material world because of pious fruitive activity. So it describes their consciousness and their destination in that they stay within the material world. So regardless of whether one is a pious living entity or a impious living entity, one stays trapped within the material energy. That's the potency of Maya. So then last night we discussed verses 22 to 26. What is discussed in verse 22 to 26?
It's like a summarization.
Yeah, a summary of?
His teachings.
Of Lord Kapila's teachings. In other words, what he actually summarizes is what is the actual goal of his teachings. The goal of his teachings is the type of consciousness that one must develop. In verses 22 to 26, he summarizes the result of following the teachings of Sankhya Yoga. Prabhupada says in chapter 25, Sankhya Yoga means Bhakti Yoga. So by performing this Sankhya Yoga system, this system of bhakti, then what will be the result on one's consciousness? What will one develop? Pure transcendental consciousness or devotional consciousness? That is described between verses 22 and 26. Now, what are the symptoms of one who has this consciousness? Then he develops bhav. Bhav means attraction to Krishna according to one's particular relationship with Krishna. With emotion or feeling, one becomes, and this is the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The purpose of the Bhagavatam is to reawaken our lost relationship with Krishna. So this is the final point of Lord Kapila's teachings, to develop pure devotional service in Bhava Bhakti, which leads to Prema Bhakti. And then he describes that one who is in this state of consciousness, he becomes disassociated with the material energy. In other words, he doesn't see the apriya or the priya, or the negative things in the material world, or the disagreeable things. That which is agreeable or disagreeable, the negative or the positive, he transcends that because his consciousness enters into pure spiritual consciousness. And then, from verse 27 until the end of the chapter, he summarizes everything which he has spoken previously, which means he summarizes the process of Ashtanga Yoga, its result, the process of Jnana Yoga, its result, and the process of Bhakti Yoga, and its result. And then in the final verse of the chapter, he gives the Stuti Phal, which means the benediction which one gains by studying these teachings. And at the end of this chapter, his teachings are complete to Devahuti. And the final chapter, which will begin next week, will discuss his Lord Kapila's final activities. So tonight we'll finish the chapter. Any questions or comments?
Okay. So we'll go from verse number 34, and we'll go to 43, which is the end of the chapter.
By performing fruitive activities and sacrifices, by distributing charity, by performing austerities, by studying various literatures, by conducting philosophical research, by controlling the mind, by subduing the senses, by accepting the renounced order of life, and by performing the prescribed duties of one's social order, by performing the different divisions of yoga practice, by performing devotional service, and by exhibiting the process of devotional service containing the symptoms of both attachment and detachment, by understanding the signs of self-realization, and by developing a strong sense of detachment, one who is expert in understanding the different processes of self-realization realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is represented in the material world as well as in transcendence. Ananda Balabha Prabhu.
As it is stated in the previous verse, one has to follow the principles of the scriptures. There are different prescribed duties for persons in the different social and spiritual orders. Here it is stated that performance of fruitive activities and sacrifices and distribution of charity are activities meant for persons who are in the householder order of society. There are four orders of social systems: Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. For the Grihasthas or householders, performance of sacrifices, distribution of charity and action according to prescribed duties are especially recommended. Similarly, austerity, study of Vedic literature and philosophical research are meant for the Vanaprasthas or retired persons. Study of the Vedic literature from the bona fide spiritual master is meant for the Brahmachari or student. Atmendriya Jaya, control of the mind and the taming of the senses, is meant for persons in the renounced order of life. All these different activities are prescribed for different persons so that they may be elevated to the platform of self-realization and from there to Krishna consciousness, devotional service. The words bhakti yogena chaiva hi means that whatever is to be performed as described in verse 34, whether yoga or sacrifice or fruitive activity or study of Vedic literature or philosophical research or acceptance of the known start of life is to be executed in Bhakti Yoga. The words Chaivahi, according to Sanskrit grammar, indicate that one must perform all these activities mixed with devotional service. Otherwise, such activities will not produce any fruit. Any prescribed activity must be performed for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yat Karoshi Yat Asnasi. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you sacrifice, whatever austerities you undergo, and whatever charities you give, the result should be given to the Supreme Lord. The word eva is added, indicating that one must execute activities in such a way. Unless one adds devotional service to all activities, he cannot achieve the desired result. But when Bhakti Yoga is prominent in every activity, then the ultimate goal is sure.
That's good. Thank you. So what are the points here?
There are two verses which we learned earlier. Mentioned again that dharma or anushta, austerities or religious duties, any occupational duties which man performs, if it does not lead to rati, then it is useless waste of time. That was one. And on the other hand, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, final verse, wherever there is Krishna, then there is always victory on that side. So therefore, for any process to succeed, Krishna has to be a component in the process. These two.
Any other point?
As Prabhu said, all the activities Krishna must be always mixed. Krishna, devotional service must be done.
In Gita 8, chapter 28, verse Krishna says, Vedeshu Yajneshu Tapashyate Vadaneshu Yatpunya Param Pradishta Vatev Tatsarva Vida Viditva Yogi Param Sthana Upaitya. He says that all these acts of charity, sacrifice, all these things can be achieved simply by performing devotional, has got everything in that. It's a good thing. Devotional service is good.
Very good. Any other points?
So what is the point of varna ashram? The point of varna and ashrama is that one is meant to become, Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, self-realized. That is the point. If you're performing varna or ashrama duties, but you're not becoming self-realized, then is shrama evahi capable. It means it is useless. Now what is the point of being a brahmachari? Now what is the point of being a grihastha? What is the point of being a varna prastha? Taking sannyas if you don't become self-realized. That's the point. So the religious principle of the brahmachari is vidya. Vidya means cultivate knowledge, study. And if you have the opportunity to be a brahmachari or a brahmacharini, then that opportunity means you have to study as much as possible. And then, if we did not have the opportunity to be a brahmachari or brahmacharini, it means you have to be serious about studying while you're a grihastha. Because if there's no brahmachari life, or brahmacharini life, then you have to be serious about studying. So therefore, your grihastha life. It means the grihastha, even if you were a brahmachari or brahmacharini, that trained you to continue your study during your grihastha ashram. Because the whole point is that to become liberated from the material energy requires transcendental knowledge, or divya jnana. And that jnana, or that vidya, is learned by studying the shastra, by hearing from guru and hearing from sadhu. So therefore, that is the purpose of brahmachari life. It trains you so that when you're a grihastha, you develop good habits. If you didn't have that opportunity, then you have to develop those habits as a grihastha. But it can be easier by having a brahmachari or brahmacharini training like that. Then the religious principle of the grihastha is dan. Dan means you must give charity, perform jagya, and give charity. Otherwise, you will not become purified, because the nature of grihastha life is you become attached. you become too much attached to money and the family. So therefore, how do you become purified of that propensity? You have to give charity voluntarily. So Rupa Goswami says you give 50%. So that is very difficult to give 50%, because the modern day you require so much money to live. Very difficult for people. But the principle is you must give every week. There must be a set amount which you give. Just like in our Chaupati temple in India, that when you join the congregation, then part of being in the congregation means you must give a set amount every week. You choose how much that'll be, but you have to do it. That is the principle of Grihastha life. Otherwise, Grihasthas, because they're so attached, they say, oh, next week I will give, next week I will give, next week I will give, next week I'll give, and then you never give. Or you just give on Janmashtami. Not good enough. If you want to be purified, you have to give weekly. This portion is for Krishna, this portion is for me. Rupa Goswami says 50% for Krishna, right? 25% for your family, 25% for emergency. That's the system. If we can do that, that's the best. Then the religious principle of the Vanaprastha is tapasya. That when you are finishing Grihastha life, when the children are older and you're finishing Grihastha life, you have to begin to perform austerity. That means you have to begin to become renounced. Forcibly take up some renunciation, some hardship in order to become detached. That is Vanaprastha life. There has to be austerity. Right? You have to, because the word tapa, what does tapa mean? Austerity. Or if you look at it more intricately from Sanskrit, what does tapa mean?
Tapa means the difficulties. Heat.
Heat. Yeah, it means heat. Like that. Heat means tapa. Heat. Some difficulty, some austerity, right? You have to develop some focus, some point like that. So this means you have to do some austerity. You have to increase your devotional activity and voluntarily perform some austerity or renounce your material facility so that you'll become more attached to Krishna. That's what you do at the end of Grihastha life. Otherwise you remain attached. You have to renounce voluntarily. And then the religious principle of the sannyasi is satyam. Satyam means satyam means he is absorbed in the absolute truth. Satya. And he preaches that absolute truth to others. So this is the religious principle. So by following vana and ashram, then gradually we become self-realized. That is the point. You have to follow each of the segments properly and voluntarily. And if you follow them properly, then you'll become self-realized. Self-realized means aham brahmasmi. Right? I am spirit. This is the realization one must attain. Then Prabhupada says, when you become self-realized, then you can become Krishna conscious. You can't become Krishna conscious if you're materially attached. So Varnashram leads us to become detached. That is the whole point. Otherwise, what is the point? What is the point of human life? Human life means regulation. It means to attain self-realization. It means to attain Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there's no point. So, as we said last night, as Prabhupada says in that second paragraph, then one must do all activities for Krishna, otherwise they will not bear any fruit. If the activity is not done for the pleasure of Krishna, right, then you're not going to receive any fruit from that activity. Meaning that you can perform any activity, but if it's not done for Krishna's pleasure, then what's the point of it? What do you actually gain? You don't actually gain anything. The materialists work so hard, but they don't actually gain anything. Because at the time of death, everything is taken away that they work for. Why work to become the richest man in the world? if you cannot take it with you at the time of death. It means you attained nothing. Because nothing goes with you into the next lifetime. Whereas Krishna says, Svalpa apyasya dharmasya. Svalpa means even a little advancement in Krishna consciousness is never lost. It is taken in the next lifetime. Right? Even if you just make a little advancement, you don't lose that. Right? In the next lifetime, that is there. That is the principle. That's why we preach. Why do we preach? Right? Because then people, even if they make a little advancement, then they come closer to Krishna. Right? In the next lifetime, they will take up more. It's so powerful, the Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada describes, just like if they get the opportunity to see Lord Jagannath on Rath Yatra, they go somewhere in the world, and we have so many Rath Yatra festivals around the world, and someone sees Lord Jagannath's face. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains that when they pass away from this world at the time of death, then he says that their life will flash before their eyes like a movie.
Yeah.
I remember last night I told everyone not to put your pens and your fingers in your mouths. Like that. Don't put your pens and your fingers in your mouth. I said this last night for those who were not here. Right? It's moochie. Yeah. Right? I don't want to see any more fingers or pens or anything in your mouth. Otherwise we'll keep a bucket of water in the corner and then when you do it you can go and cleanse yourself. Right? It's moochie. Get out of the habit. Otherwise how do you worship the deity?
Yeah.
How do you do devotion like that? How do you touch the Bhagavatam? Like that. You have to remember these things. So Prabhupada says that you may see Lord Jagannath, and then at the end of your life, just like a movie, Prabhupada says, like a movie reel, then you see your whole life go before your eyes, and then Prabhupada says when you get to see Lord Jagannath, then the movie stops. Right? And then at the end of your life, then you just see Jagannath's face, and Prabhupada says it's like when the sun rises. When the sun rises, everything else disappears. It becomes insignificant in its presence. So your whole life, when you see the sun of Lord Jagannath's face within your consciousness, within your mind, everything else will become insignificant. And that person will advance in their next lifetime. Just like I told the story before about my friend Atul Krishna Prabhu, whose father came to the temple when he got initiated and spent 2 hours in the temple. And he lived till he was 65, but he only ever came to the temple once in his life for 2 hours. But when he was leaving his body, he was going in and out of a coma, and as he kept coming in and out of consciousness, every time he would wake up he would say, stop playing those drums, put out that incense, put out. This is what he was thinking at the time of death. He was in the temple at the time of death. Right? Atul was there next to him when he passed away. He said he was in the temple in his mind at the time of death. So all of his life, but what left the impression was Krishna consciousness. Therefore we have to preach, because when we preach and we give people prasadam or one of Prabhupada's books or the holy name or some contact with Krishna, that is what they remember at the time of death. Right? So everything else is useless. That's what the Bhagavatam teaches. Whatever else you do in your life is useless. The only thing which is important is devotional service. That bears fruit. Yeah? That fruit which you get from devotional service, that's what you get at the end of life. You have something. Right? At the end of your life, all the service you've done, you take that with you. Right? But anything else, your money, everything you get, it doesn't mean anything. You don't take anything with you. What's the point? Okay. Any questions or comments? Then we'll read paragraph number 4. Jagannath Rampal.
The words Dharmeno Vya Chinena mean that the Bhakti Yoga process contains two symptoms, namely attachment for the Supreme Lord and attachment for all material affinities. There are two symptoms of advancement in the process of devotional service. Just as there are two processes taking place while eating, a hungry man feels strength and satisfaction from eating, and at the same time he gradually becomes detached from eating anymore. Similarly, with the execution of devotional service, real knowledge develops and one becomes detached from all material activities. In no other activity but devotional service is there such detachment from matter and attachment to the Supreme Lord. There are 9 different processes to increase this attachment to the Supreme Lord. Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving the Lord, making friendship, praying, offering everything and serving the lotus feet of the Lord. The processes for increasing detachment from material affinities are explained in verse 36.
Thank you. So what are the points here?
It's through the higher taste which we have in front. Through higher taste, in devotional service there's so much higher taste that one can easily get detached. By rendering Vasudeva Bhagavata Bhakti, by rendering devotional service to Supreme Lord, automatically will become detached, gets knowledge and detachment. That is the only way. There is no other way. The material world, so many other processes that will not, one cannot get detached from that because the senses are not engaged. But here in devotional service, because all the senses, all these 9 processes of devotional service, senses are engaged, so it's easy to get detached, naturally detachment like that, not endeavoring for it separately. Mm.
That's good. Any other points?
And the progress can be measured in both the ways, detachment and attachment. Mm. So sometimes there is symptoms of hard to find the opposition.
Yeah, it's good. So then, this is Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book, chapters 29 to 33, when he's describing Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. He said, this is the measure of Krishna consciousness. We have to measure, are we becoming detached from matter? And are we becoming simultaneously more attached to Krishna? Because spiritual life and sense gratification go ill together. You can't have both. You can't advance and expect to be attached to Krishna while you're still attached to matter. You have to give up your attachments to the material energy. When you become detached from the material energy, then you can become attached to Krishna. You can't become attached to Krishna properly if you're still attached to the material energy. So therefore, when you become properly detached, then you can really, truly become attached to Krishna. So therefore, devotional service accomplishes both simultaneously. Right? By devotional service, we become attached to Krishna. And then we'll feel, by our attachment to Krishna, we'll feel less attached to Maya, to the material energy. So you have to study your Krishna consciousness. And you have to see, are you progressing? Or sometimes, does the disease become strong again? Just like when the patient is becoming cured, sometimes he feels that the disease becomes strong again. Right. You're on the path of purification, but then sometimes the material desires, they come back again. So then you have to study, why is that happening? Because you became slack in your sadhana, because you began to chant inattentively, because you stopped reading Prabhupada's books, because you began to criticize devotees, because you stopped offering Krishna his bhoga properly. So whenever you offer, whenever you do some, you become somewhat slackened, or slack in your devotional service, then at this point, then Maya creeps in. And that's the point when your attraction to Krishna becomes weaker in your material. So devotees have to be very vigilant, which means we have to be very careful how we practice. Again, any points?
You said last time, what is the way of presenting bhoga to Krishna? What is the essential item? What is the meditation?
Well, you have to do all the things nicely. Just like when I offer bhoga to Guru Raj, then
everything has to be clean. Prabhupada said, did I say that last night? Prabhupada says Krishna does not need an opulent offering. Krishna needs a clean kitchen. Prabhupada says that. That is essential. A dirty kitchen, Krishna will not accept the offering. If the offering is simple, then Krishna will accept it. That's not the point. Krishna is not after opulence. Krishna is after purity. Things must be clean. So Prabhupada said there are rules, there are small rules, but if you follow the small rules, that is the proof that you love Krishna. So you have to follow the rules. That means you have to clean things. Keep everything clean, get everything neat. Right? Wash everything before you offer to Krishna. Take some time to make the offering nice. And then offer it to Krishna, and then do the prayers properly. Do them nicely. Meditate while you're doing it. Like that. So this should be, and have devotion while you're offering. So these elements should be there.
Also, Srila Prabhupada, in that cleanliness and he says that cleanliness means no laziness.
The Prabhupada's cleanliness is godliness. Right? In English, we say cleanliness is next to godliness. Prabhupada said, no, it is godliness. Now, the spiritual world is clean. The temple must be clean. It is Krishna's temple. Like that. So I think they have the deity worship seminar this weekend?
Yes.
So you should all attend that if you can. Like that. Learn how to worship the deity nicely. Proper standards.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. I can't come because I'm in the farm, but if I was here, I would. Mother,
you were saying that putting the three things which are very essential in putting this clean kitchen, the time. It has to be offered in time, and the love that we offer it with these three things are like paramount. You can't compromise on these three. So it has to be done in time, clean, and with devotion.
So how come breakfast is always late?
We offer to Gurmaj probably 8:35 to 8:45 around that time.
It's late all the time. Many of them do it. Okay. We'll read the paragraph 6. Bilgi Prabhu, can you read the 6th paragraph? Understanding.
The understanding of the Supreme Person is called Atma Tattva or Bodhena, which means understanding of one's real constitutional position. If one actually understands one's constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord, he becomes detached from the service of the material world. Everyone engages in some sort of service. If one does not know one's constitutional position, one engages in the service of his personal body or his family, society or nothing. But as soon as one is able to see his constitutional position, the word Purdhuk means one who is able to see, he becomes detached from such material service and engages himself in devotional service.
So what are the points here?
One must understand one's constitutional position as a servant. Then only then be detached from the material service.
So Prabhupada made this point last night. Kakela made this point. Prabhupada elaborated the point of that. Devotional service is culminating in what? Love of God, bhava. What is the symptom of bhava bhakti?
Emotions.
Or?
Attachment to Krishna, holy name, holy places.
Yeah, that. But it means that you begin to understand your constitutional position in relation to Krishna. So this is the point which is being made here. That one will only become completely detached from matter when you understand your constitutional position in relation to Krishna. Because you need to be attached. The nature of the soul is to be attached. Everyone is attached to their family. But in the spiritual world, we also have an eternal family. Each one of us has a mother and father in the spiritual world. We have our own family. We have a village. What is the name of the village?
Vrindavan.
Right? We have a village. Right? We have a family. We have a particular swarup, a constitutional position. Unless you become attached to that, then you cannot become detached from the material world fully. Because you need to replace that attachment you have in this material world with something higher. So that is what the Bhagavatam is leading us towards. Becoming completely detached from this material world. But that can only take place when you become completely attached to Krishna, in terms of your relationship with Krishna. So that has to be cultivated. That's what the Bhagavatam is stressing. Any points? Okay. So read that final paragraph. Only Prabhu can read the final.
As long as one is in the modes of material nature and is performing the duties prescribed in the scriptures, he can be elevated to higher planetary systems where the predominating deities are material representations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the Sun God, the Moon God, the Air God. Air God, Brahma and Lord Shiva. All the different demigods are material representations of the Supreme Lord. By material activities, one can approach only such demigods as stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 25. Shanti Devi Varta Devi. Those who are attached to the demigods and who perform the prescribed duties can approach the abodes of the demigods. In this way, one can go to the planet of the Pitas or forefathers. Similarly, one who fully understands the real position of his life, adopts devotional service, and realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So what are the points here? The Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita that if you worship a particular demigod, you will go to the planet which the demigod resides on, which is called the Loka. But if you worship Krishna, you will go to Krishna Loka. You go to that place where Krishna eternally resides, that spiritual abode. So therefore the Bhagavatam is recommending Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. Worship Krishna alone. Because by worshipping Krishna, Prabhupada even says in the end of the 11th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, in one of his purports, he says the devotees do not even place their minds on other forms of the Lord. We don't even divert our attention to the other forms. We just stay fixed on Krishna. And Krishna, particularly Krishna in Vrindavan. That is what we meditate upon. And if you meditate, then that's where you'll go. Where do you want to go? Ask yourself now, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? What's your desire? What is in your heart? Where do you want to go? Do you really want to go? Is that what you desire? Do you want to go to that place where Krishna lives? Or do you want to go to the place where Lord Ram lives? Or do you want to go to the place where the Kaliya serpent lives? What is the name of that place? Prabhupada drove the Kaliya serpent out of Krishna drove the Kaliya serpent out of Vrindavan. And then where did Prabhupada say he went?
Fiji.
So where do you want to go? Hopefully you want to go to Vrindavan, or do you want to go to Fiji? Choice is yours. What is your consciousness? What is in your heart? That's what Krishna is inspecting what is in the heart. What do you want? Because Krishna can give anything. That's no problem. You want to go to him, then he'll bring. And if you want to go somewhere else, then he'll take you there. That's the problem. Okay. So now we'll go to text 37. My dear mother, I have explained to you the process of devotional service and its identity in four different social divisions. I have explained to you as well how eternal time is chasing the living entities, although it is imperceptible to them. So now Lord Kapila is summarizing his teachings. Devahuti asked those three questions in the beginning of the 29th chapter, and after answering her, now he is summarizing everything which he has said. He's giving the final synopsis. So he says here, Prabhupada explains within the purport that there are four types of devotional service. What are the four types of devotional service? Yeah. So then in the 29th chapter, it was explained there's devotional service in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, and in the mode of goodness. But then there is a fourth type of devotional service, which is pure devotional service. And this is what the Bhagavatam is recommending. So by the other three types of devotional service, you stay within this material world. You take birth again as a devotee. Right? If you're in the mode of ignorance, or the mode of passion, or even the mode of goodness, you take birth again as a devotee.
Krishna says that in Gita, Urdhvam Gacchanti Sattvastha Madhye Tishtanti Rajasa. The people who die in the mode of goodness, they go to heavenly planets. Those who die in passion, they go on earthly planets.
Yeah, but that may not be devotees also. But specifically, Krishna's, it's being Prabhupada's explaining here. For devotees, you may do devotional service, but still, because you're in the mode of ignorance or the mode of passion or even the mode of goodness, you stay within this material world. You don't transcend. So one has to get to the platform of pure devotional service, and then one can transcend the material world and go back to Godhead. Otherwise, you have to study the symptoms. That's why chapter 29 is very important. Study chapter 29 very carefully for your exam. Because your exam is coming in a few weeks. So probably next week I'll tell you what date it will be. There are varieties of material existence for the living entity according to the work he performs in ignorance or forgetfulness of his real identity. My dear mother, if anyone enters into that forgetfulness, he is unable to understand where his movements will end. So what is Lord Kapila referring to in this verse? Yeah, but in regards to he's summarizing what he's teaching. What is he specifically summarizing in this verse? Yeah, but how does that relate to what he has mentioned previously? Think of the questions that Devahuti asked.
It's about karma, how the living entities go on, entering into different species and part of
it. She specifically asked, please explain to me about the time factor. So now he's summarizing about the time factor. Prabhupada points out in the purport, by the mercy of the Guru, by the mercy of sadhu, by the mercy of shastra, then one can become liberated from the effects of time. So it means in order to become free from the effects of time, then one has to absorb oneself in hearing from guru, sadhu and shastra. Because by their mercy we become free of the effects of time. In other words, we become liberated from material bondage. Otherwise you will be born again in this material world. But what is the way to become free from this material world? You have to hear from Guru. You have to hear from Sadhu. You have to hear from Shastra. Does
pull that door like, so it locks. So this is how you become free from the influence of the material energy, by hearing from these three personalities. And if you don't absorb your consciousness continuously in hearing from Guru, in hearing from the Sadhu, in hearing from Shastra, then you become overcome by the influence of the material energy. But if you continuously engage yourself in hearing from these three, then you liberate yourself from the effects of the material energy. This is the way how to get out of the material world. It is by hearing. That's how we transcend. Parikshit Maharaj heard from Shukadeva Goswami. And that's how he transcended this world. It's just by hearing. And that's how we become liberated. Because transcendental sound takes us to Krishna.
By our own endeavor, we can never get out.
Yeah, Prabhupada says that. There are varieties of material existence for the living entity according to the work he performs in ignorance or forgetfulness of his real identity. My dear mother, if anyone enters into that forgetfulness, he is unable to understand where his movements will end. So we'll read the purport here. I spoke on the wrong verse. I was looking at my notes, but then I looked at the notes I had for 38, and then I mentioned that. So.
Actually, you read twice.
Did I read it twice?
Yeah.
Okay, then I didn't make any mistake.
Because what you said is actually applying to the previous verse more?
No, but I just read 38. Did I just read it the second time?
Yes, I read four times.
Okay, then. Then I'm on track. I don't know why you don't tell me. What's the whole thing? You don't tell me when I read the same verse. You don't say you're reading the same verse.
Actually, you thought you wanted to explain more.
It could be a reason for reading it twice, though.
It could be.
Because you wanted to explain.
Yeah.
That's
I thought you were reading again. You wanted to explain more.
More clearly.
Okay. Is it clear now? Lord Kanthila continued, this instruction is not meant for the envious, for the agnostics, or for persons who are unclean in their behavior. Nor is it for hypocrites or for persons who are proud of material possessions. It is not to be instructed to persons who are too greedy and too attached to family life, nor to persons who are non-devotees and who are envious of the devotees, and of the personality of Godhead.
But
persons
who are always planning to do harm to other living entities are not able to understand Krishna consciousness and cannot enter into the realm of transcendental loving service to the Lord. Also, there are so-called disciples who become submissive to a spiritual master most artificially, with an ulterior motive. They also cannot understand what Krishna consciousness or devotional service is. Persons who, due to being initiated by another sect of religious faith, do not find devotional service as the common platform for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, also cannot understand Krishna consciousness. We have experienced that some students come to join us, but because of being biased in some particular type of faith, they leave our camp and become lost in the wilderness. Actually, Krishna consciousness is not a sectarian religious faith. It is a teaching process for understanding the Supreme Lord and our relationship with Him. Anyone can join this movement without prejudice, but unfortunately, there are persons who feel differently. It is better, therefore, not to instruct the science of Krishna consciousness to such persons. I'll continue. Generally, materialistic persons are after some name, fame, and material gain. So if someone takes to Krishna consciousness for these reasons, he he will never be able to understand his philosophy. Such persons take to religious principles as a social decoration. They admit themselves into some cultural institution for the sake of name only, especially in this age. Such persons also cannot understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Even if one is not greedy for material possessions, but is too attached to family life, he also cannot understand Krishna consciousness. Superficially, such persons are not very greedy for material possessions, but they are too attached to wife, children and family improvement. When a person is not contaminated by the above mentioned faults, yet at the ultimate issue is not interested in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or if he is a non-devotee, he also cannot understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness.
So what does Prabhupada mention here?
Instruct
a person, a faithless
person.
One should not be instructed
by
such a person.
Good point.
People who eat meat like harming other living entities, for them also, I cannot understand.
So Prabhupada's mentioning those, Kapiladeva is mentioning, and Prabhupada explains. Those who are unqualified to take the devotional service. Many personalities are unqualified. So those people, they cannot understand this message. Even people we explain this to, but they just cannot understand it. They don't have qualification, adhika, to understand this message. So first of all, those who are meat eaters. See, it doesn't mean that we don't preach to the meat eaters. But if they won't give up that attachment, they can't understand. They can't advance. Right? We preach to them. Just like on Sunday at the farm, we had the Sunday feast. And nice people came. 11 new people came. And we were preaching to them. And I was explaining to them about why we are vegetarian, like that. And when people hear this, then they have to make a decision. Right? And if you make the decision to, if you can understand that it is detrimental to your spiritual progress to eat the animals, then you can advance. But if you won't give up that sinful activity, then you can't advance. You can't understand these teachings. You can't progress in spiritual life. So it's not that we don't preach the meat eaters, but we have to. We understand they cannot advance unless they are willing to give up that attachment. Like that. Then, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, the second category who cannot understand this message are false disciples. Right? Some people, they take to spiritual life, but their motive is not sincere. They're not going to spiritual life for the actual reason to advance in Krishna consciousness. Sit properly. Hey, sit properly. Okay. They're not coming to Krishna consciousness for the actual reason to advance in Krishna consciousness. There's some other motive there. They're taking initiation, they're becoming disciple. Right? They're entering into the spiritual movement, but not actually sincere. Some other motivation is there. So they cannot understand this message. They're not actually advancing rapidly. They're making some progress, but they won't properly understand. They won't realize these teachings. It's okay. The only people who can understand are those who are sincere disciples. One has to understand what is the motivation. Am I actually here to please the Guru and to please Krishna? Or is there some ulterior motive which is there? Okay. Then, Prabhupada says, the next category is materialistic religionists. We meet these people all the time who they say, I am following this religion, I am following that religion, but actually they're just materialistic. They're not actually following the religion for the purpose of the religion, and it's because they want something from the religion, some material gain. And
this is like Kaitava Dharma, isn't it? It's like Kaitava Dharma. They're doing religion to get something back.
Yeah, like that. It's just like people, they become sectarian in their religion. They say, oh, I am Christian, or I am Muslim, or I am Hindu, like that. And they cannot accept the other religions.
or they cannot accept the essential point of the religions. What is the essential point of the religions?
Yeah,
it is to serve Krishna. Right? It is devotional service, it's bhakti. But they cannot understand that. They're caught up in the sectarianism. I am Hindu. Prabhupada said it's rubber stamping.
It's like a bodily concept, bodily designation.
Yeah, it's another designation, another upadhi. I am this, I am that, like that. But they don't understand what is the actual point of religion. It's sanatana dharma. It is bhakti. Like so, one who actually understands, they can progress. But one who becomes materialistic about religion, they cannot actually understand. And then Prabhupada says the next category is... those who desire name, fame and profit. So if you come into devotional service, but the motivation is to have name, fame or profit, then you cannot actually understand. You're doing devotional service, but what is the motivation? I want name. I want fame. Or I want some profit. Right? Then you cannot really understand Lord Kapila's teachings. You cannot really understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? If this is the motivation. In other words, what was, as we just mentioned, what is Lord Kapila's final conclusion?
Devotion.
It is to understand Bhava Bhakti. So you can't understand Bhava Bhakti. If you're still attached to name or fame or profit, you can make advancement, but you won't go all the way, or you will not become fully realized in Krishna consciousness. You won't attain pure devotional service. Because you have to give up your attachment to name and fame. You have to give up your attachment to profit. Otherwise you won't fully understand Krishna. This is the test. And Krishna is testing us all the time.
Even in Sikshastaka, one of the things is Chaitanya Madanamna Janamna Sundarita.
Same
not
thing.
Not followers, not followers.
Yeah, that's the same thing. So it means... you can bahu jamma kadiyati shravani. You can do devotional service for many lifetimes, but you won't get the prima dan, right? Or the goal with the fruit of love for Krishna, right? You can do devotional service on and on and on for many lifetimes. But if you're attached to name and fame and profit, but you won't get love for Krishna, right? And Krishna is testing us all the time. What is actually your motivation? What is actually your motivation? What is actually your motivation? Like that. Are you really serious about getting me? Are you willing to pay any price to get me? Like that. Or are you just a cheap devotee who is interested in other things? Like this. And then Prabhupada says, and Lord Kapiladev says, one who is too attached to the family. You also cannot get pure devotional service. You cannot become a pure devotee if you are too attached to the family. In other words, you are a griha medhi. Too attached. How many children have you had in all the previous lifetimes? How many mothers and fathers have you had in all the previous lifetimes? How many sisters? How many brothers?
Millions.
How many husbands? How many wives? It's so attached to this, yeah, this particular lifetime that you have. If you're too attached, then you cannot attain love for Krishna. So all these things Kapila is mentioning, so that we will get detached, so we can actually attach to Krishna.
The other day, some Jehovah's Witnesses came on the door and we discussed about meditating. I told them, until you know, they don't understand, because they do so nicely, they try so hard to teach Krishna, but they can't give up meat eating. And they don't understand the basic truth that they're not the body. They think they're the body, and that's why they don't cremate their bodies, or they don't do anything. Just sad.
So Prabhupada mentions this in this purport. They can't attain pure devotional service.
they don't understand the basic truth, the tattva vibram, not having enough knowledge of the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they call fishes.
Jalapushpa.
Yeah, jala fowl. In Bengal they call it Ganga fowl. Yeah, it's common. Korma Prabhu was telling, because I went to India with Korma Prabhu last year. He was telling me all the statistics. He knows all the statistics. And he said, how many people in India are vegetarian? How many eat fish? Like that. And I think he was saying, I can't remember exactly, but I think he was saying, in Bengal, 97% of the people eat fish.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. Practically everyone eats fish. And Puri and all these places like that. And they're very common. Okay. So then, verses 41.
Does that mean they can't become pure devotion
students? No, because a devotee only eats prasad, and Krishna doesn't eat fish. So then, where is the pure devotion?
But here they say that we can't do devotional service anymore eating meat, but meat in the sense like fish, whatever. So how people can eat shit and they're eating fish? That's very difficult to understand, because they are doing devotional service,
we
can't come and talk.
Ask Jaipataka Swami. He'll give you the answer. I think from memory, Bhakti Sandhya Saraswati Thakur says something about the residents of Puri eating fish.
Mm.
He actually comments something about it.
Mm.
So there's something there. But generally, the general principle is that it is not permissible. It's not, you cannot get pure devotional service. Instruction should be given to the faithful devotee who is respectful to the spiritual master, non-envious, friendly to all kinds of living entities, and eager to render service with faith and sincerity. This instruction should be imparted by the spiritual master to persons who have taken the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be more dear than anything, who are not envious of anyone, who are perfectly cleansed, and who have developed attachment for that which is outside the purview of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada says in the purport, one should offer respect to one's guru and to one's god brothers. So if you do not offer respect to your guru, and Prabhupada said you must serve the guru nicely. That is the principle of devotional service. The guru must be served nicely, and Prabhupada says that one must offer respect to the god brothers. Especially Prabhupada mentions that if a particular god brother or particular god brothers or god sisters are becoming advanced, then you should treat them like you treat the spiritual master. Right. So this is the principle of respect.
Can I clarify, my god brother or guru's god brothers?
No, your god brother.
My god brother.
Yeah, okay. Your god brother or god sister. Srila Prabhupada says, if they are becoming advanced, you should treat them like the spiritual master. So this is the principle. If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, then you have to worship Guru and worship the God brothers. Respect the God brothers properly. So then, Prabhupada's final point that he makes is that the guru should not initiate disciples who are not qualified like that. It should not become that the guru is just initiating, oh, because this person, he's not so qualified, but he's very rich. So he will give me some dakshina. And I can use that dakshina to open temples. So even the guru, he may not be using the dakshina for himself. Yeah, he may not be thinking, oh, I will get the money for me. No, he's not thinking like that. But if he's thinking, I will get the money, but then I can build temples and everything. But even this is wrong, because the person is not qualified. So you should only give instruction to those who are qualified, actually sincere. There's the qualification for becoming a disciple. One has to follow the teachings. No use, they're not following properly. Tamal Krishnamurti is very strict like this. I remember he mentioned this one time. Mm-hmm. He said that because he'd been a guru since Prabhupada left. Mm-hmm. So then he said to his other godbrothers who are becoming gurus later on, he said that my experience is that you should not give initiation too easily. Because if you give it too easily, quite often the people, they cannot maintain the standards. So there should be some strictness. The guru has to test. And then it's better for the disciple, better for the guru, better for the movement. Okay. So then Lord...
What about Prabhupada?
He
was telling a lot of disciples who fell down
and
inside that they were not qualified? Or?
Yeah, but Prabhupada came in 65, Prabhupada was already 70, and he didn't know how long he had. So it's true, even Prabhupada knew himself that when he was giving initiation many times, these people were not so qualified, but he didn't have much time, so he just went like that.
He wanted to spread the movement.
He had to spread the movement quickly. He didn't have a choice. Prabhupada had no choice. You know, Prabhupada didn't know how long he had. So he was just doing everything, but he didn't expect, if he had more time, he wouldn't have done it like that. He would have been more strict and more.
He would have waited maybe to become more qualified.
Yeah.
Following the process.
Yeah.
Later on, I think he says also, no? Later on, it's like, we have enough, you know, we should boil the milk.
Yeah, he said that in about 1972. Like that. He said, we have 300 or 400 disciples now around the world. He said, we should train them. Like that, not worry about just making more and more and more, but train the ones that we have. That's why for myself, my main service is to train the devotees, because I see that that's what ISKCON needs. Devotees need to be trained, right? And even I'm seeing that the training is not good enough. I'm seeing that devotees are not being trained properly, because I was trained by my spiritual master Tamal Krishnamurti, who was very strict and very, he was trained by Prabhupada in a very high standard, and he trained me like this. But I'm seeing a lot of devotees not being trained now like this. I see the standards are coming down like that. So it's important that devotees get trained properly, nicely. That's why on the weekend you should attend this course. You should learn about what are the standards like that. You should practice the standards like that, because Prabhupada was he had very high standards. We should have these high standards like that. It's necessary. So the guru has to make sure the disciples are qualified, so that they will come up to these higher standards like that. Now the final verse. Now Lord Kapila gives the stuti phal. It means he gives the fruit. He gives benediction. This is what you will get if you follow the teachings of Lord Kapila, which began in chapter 25. From chapter 25 to 32, if you follow his teachings sincerely, this is your benediction, which Lord Kapila will give you. He says, anyone who once meditates upon me with faith and affection, who hears and chants about me, surely goes back home, back to Godhead. So Lord Kapila is saying,
Even once,
but once means what sort of chanting is that? Yeah, it means very, it means, what did he raise it with? Bhav. He said you have to become a pure devotee. But if you chant nicely, if you are sincere, Lord Kapila Dave says you will go back to Godhead by following his teachings. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Okay, so probably next week I'll probably tell you when your closed book exam date is. It'll probably be the first week of October, I think. So study now, and very soon we'll finish chapter 33, and then I'll do a summary of the chapter 29 to 33, and then we'll have the exam, and then in October then we'll do some, because we'll have some time left before I go to India, so then I'll teach Madhurya Kanambini or something like that. So you can come along, like a short course. Like that. Srila Prabhupada Ki.
Yeah.